what we're going to do today. Ah, here he is. You did not lie. So we're going to start one of the more complicated sugyos in Chutzmutza, but I think it's very relevant to Maisa. So it's important, I think, to just, you know, go through the basic sugyos, the basic Gemara, basic Shulchan Aruch, and then just jump right into all of the ramifications, halacha le Maisa. So the sugya is about shivrei kelim. When you have kelim that break on Shabbos, to what extent are they muktzah? So when are you allowed to use and move shivrei kelim? When are you not allowed to use and move shivrei kelim? So you might think that that's not really so relevant, but it actually is relevant for a number of different situations. I mean, to what extent do we assume that that let's say plastic utensils or a key that's no longer usable? Let's say you have an old key on your keychain, and there's no longer a lock that key unlocks. So it didn't break, but its usage is no longer. In Israel, the Israeli milk bags is a big deal. Whether they once emptied, whether they become mukta. So all of these things, all of these issues, relate to this sugya of shivrei kelim. And what about things that just break off, like the arm from your glasses breaks off? So to what extent is that muktzah in terms of it's going, you plan on replacing it, you just need to get one of those teeny tiny screws to screw it back in. So whether that's muktzah. So all of this relates to these few si'ifim that we're about to do now, and all of these si'ifim relate to a Mishnah in Shabbos Tav Kuf Chav Dalet, where the Mishnah tells us that kol ha'kelim anitalin b'Shabbos shivrei anitalin imahen, that all kelim that are not muktzah, you're allowed to move the shivarim as well. Obavash yosin me'ein melacha, as long as they're still somewhat usable. And Rashi says, what does it mean, me'ein melacha? Shum melacha, afilu eina me'ein arishona. As long as they could do anything, even if their current function is not at all similar to what their intended original function is. Because as a broken kli, it can no longer be used in the original way, it can only be used in a new way. Shivrei areva, l'chazos benes piachavis, Gemara gives an example. A bowl that breaks, maybe you can use one of the broken pieces to cover a barrel with. Shivrei zechuchis l'chas ben espia pach. Maybe you can take a broken piece of glass and use it to cover a pach, a jug. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'vach yu osin me'ein milachton. That no, not enough that the broken piece of the kli can do me'ein melacha, it has to be able to do me'ein melachton, similar to what its initially intended melacha was, such as shivrei areva lotzuk l'tochan mikvah v'shal zechuchas lotzuk l'tochan shemen, that you had a giant bowl and now it broke, and in its broken state it still has a base kibble. You can still, let's say the bowl broke along this way, so the bottom part of the bowl is still usable, but it used to be a giant mixing bowl, now it could be used as a cereal bowl because you only have like the bottom portion of it that remains, but it's still usable as a bowl. So it's still usable, me'ein melachton, only then is it not going to be muktzah, but otherwise it's going to be muktzah. That's machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. So how do we pass them? So Beis Yosef quotes machlokas Rishonim, whether we pass them Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch and Sivav, jumping right into the Shulchan Aruch, kol ha'kelim shenishbu afilu b'Shabbos, mutal l'taltal shivrehem, ubelvad shiyu ru'uyim l'shum melacha. Meaning, Tanakama, as long as it's usable for any sort of malacha, it doesn't need to be me'in malachtan. Kigon shivrei aveira l'chaspa, shivrei areva l'chasospa hachavis, shivrei zechuchis l'chasospa piapach. Exactly the examples of the Gemara. Aval meinim ruim l'shem malacha lo. But if it's not right for malacha, then you can't use it. So the Bir Alacha in Dibur Maschul Kol HaKelim, right, Bir Alacha writes, I am prim gadol mishpal zav, siv katan yodalit, shemitzadi dizeh adim kai af al kelim shemalachton l'isir, shemotu l'taltan sarf kufan l'mekomen, digam bezeh sag shen ruin l'shemalacha. Meaning, this isn't only about kelim shemalachton l'heter that break, and that as long as they're usable for some malacha, you're allowed to be metal to them. Even if you have a kli shemalachton l'isir, which you're only allowed to be metal to sarf kufan l'mekomo in the first place, if the kli shemalachton l'isir breaks, and it's still rotway to do some halacha with, so now your vayter allowed to be metaltel l'sarach kufa u'makomo. So that's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and Bir Halacha again extends it even to klisha melachto l'isser. So far so good? Yeah, we're at the very basic levels. Comes along Rava in the Gemara, and Rava in Daf Kuf Chav Dalet tells us that when the Tanakhama says that you're allowed to move these shivrei kelim, as long as they can be used for anything, that's true even if the specific purpose for which they can be used has no shaychus to you. meaning you would never use it for that. So it's not something that, you know, yes, you can imagine a usage of this broken piece of pottery, but that's not a usage that you would ever have. And in fact, Shulchan Aruch paskens this in Siv Zayin. If you look in Siv Zayin, Shulchan Aruch writes, Chatich Hascheresh Nishba, V'chol Mikli Ru'i L'chasos Ba Kli, Mutl Taltla, Afil Makum Shein Kele Mitzuyim Shal L'chasosim Ba. Right? Afil Makum Shein Kele Mitzuyim Shal L'chasosim Ba. That you don't have any kelim that you're going to be able to cover any kelim to be able to cover with it. So Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Rava says in the Gemara, that moving a broken kli is, even if the purpose that it might have is something that's not a purpose that you have for it. So the Gemara assumes, though, that the Gemara discusses, though, wait a second. So broken pieces of a kelim, which are just shards, as long as you find some usage for it, it's not muksa. So would you say the same thing about a rock? Right? Why not say that everything that meaning we said this applies to kli shel naftal, the hetter that breaks, and applies to kli shel naftal, the isser that breaks, and it's no longer a kli. You learn, it's no longer something that has a base kibul. It's no longer something that could even be called a kli, but it's just something that has a use. So if it's just something that has a usage and that's good enough, why don't we say the same thing about a rock or dirt or a brick or a branch or something like that? That since I could imagine some usage for it, even if I don't have that usage for it, that should be good enough, and I should be able to say that that's not muksa. So the Gemara addresses this directly. The Gemara says El Meata. That every rock, every pebble that you have in your chatzer should not be muktza, because you could use it to cover a kli with. So you could use it as a doorstopper, you could use it as anything. So the Gemara says that Rav Avya answers, ha ika toras kli alei, hani leka toras kli aleihen. That shards aren't muktza because they started out as a kli. Rocks never started as a kli, and therefore the mutzah maklas gufo, and this whole din doesn't apply to mutzah maklas gufo. It only applies to something that when Shabbos started was a kli, or that when it started was a kli. Shulchan Aruch paskens like this in the end of Siv Zayin, right? Shulchan Aruch writes, the davka chaticha scheres mishum da'as yomi shivrei kli. Something that's got no shaychus to a kli, even though you can use them to cover a kli, it's still going to be also to be metalto. If you look in the Mishnah Brura in Siv Katan Chavchas, so Mishnah Brura is going on where the Shulchan Aruch said that kolakem shenishbra afilu b'shamz mutal letalto shivrehem. So says the Mishnah Brura, Shivrei kelim heim michelik sheni shabamukza, mishum dekshenishbru dami litzroros v'mukza machmas gufo. Elokim shabo mikli lo batal shem kli mayam calls matrim shum davar. Kigon lechasos mashenkim betzroros. Alf mishurim lechasos lav manahim. Mishbura says, he explains, that the shards of a broken kli are not muktza, because when Shabbos started, they were a kli. So they still have some connection, some shaychus to that idea of a kli, and as long as there's some other purpose for them. So he says, really, in reality, a broken kli should be muktza machmas gufo. But it's not, because it started as a kli. So they don't lose their status of a kli. But rocks are muksa, even if they can be used for another purpose, like to cover a barrel or a doorstopper, because they never had the status of a kli before Shabbos. Now, if you designate a rock before Shabbos to be something that is used for another purpose, maybe that's a different story. But we're talking about where on Shabbos to say, oh, look, this rock has some sort of purpose for me, Joshua. Right. So we'll get to that. Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing, but also you might say, no, it's not that, oh, since it broke on Shabbat, so Mukhain Agavavia, and it's this had a Shem Kli.
So that's the question. What's the din over here? Is it a din in Shem Kli, or is it a din? So we'll get to that in a moment. Yeah.
We assume that these broken kelim can't hold a little bit of water, can't hold some food. I assume it still is like some parts of the kli are still there that can hold something. So
that's the question. That was Machlokes Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Do you need that? So Tanakam is saying, even if not, even if it can't hold anything, but it can just be used to cover a barrel with, that's good enough.
Won't every kli have that? It can still hold?
No, not necessarily. It could just be flat pieces that aren't really usable. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Aleph, important to see Sif Yud Aleph over here, because you have to try to figure out how it fits with everything we just said. Shulchan Aruch writes, Machat Shlema, if you have a hole, a complete needle, Mutter L'taltala Litol Ba Esakotz, you could use it to remove a splinter with. Nital Chuda Ochor Shela, but if the tip of the needle was removed, or the hole where you put thread through is taken off, aser, then it's going to be aser. The chadash shlo nikva dayin mutter. It's a brand new needle that they haven't yet made the hole in the needle. It's going to be mutter. So what's Shulchan Aruch telling us is also gemara. It's a gemara. You know, Shulchan Aruch is passing with the gemara. It says in Shabbos Kuf Chav Gimel that needle that breaks on Shabbos is muksa, even if you have some use for it. Meaning, sounds like you can't use this needle anymore to mend the garment because you can't put thread through it anymore because it doesn't have that. What do they call it? The eye? Is that the eye of the needle? So it doesn't have the eye of the needle anymore, so you're not going to be able to mend the garments with it, but you can still use it to remove a splinter, so it still has some use for you. So afal pikein, even though it has some use for you, it's muksa. So then the question becomes, why is that any different than shivrei kli? When you take a vase that smashes on the floor and breaks, and it's in a dozen pieces, so as long as you can use any of those broken pieces, or someone could use any of those broken pieces to cover your barrel or your jug of oil with or something, so that's good enough and it's not muksa. But a broken needle, which you actually have a real use for, and that's going to be muksa, why should it be any different? So Rav Nissim Krelitz deals with this question. I mean, everyone deals with this question, but he formulates an answer as follows. He says as follows. He says, "Mestavra de ein lilmod machat l'shivrei kelim b'zmaneinu." I'm sorry. Before that, he says as follows. He says that if it was common to use a broken piece of a kli to cover the opening of a barrel. However, when a needle broke, they always threw it away. Meaning, needles were so cheap and so nothing and so insignificant that as soon as the needle broke, they just threw it in the garbage. But when pottery broke, they didn't always throw it in the garbage. So only broken things that you would normally keep, that you would normally hang on to, only that would not be muksa. So a broken piece of cheres, you might hang on to use it to cover a barrel. But something that's broken, that you wouldn't keep, that you would just discard immediately, like a broken needle, that's going to be muksa as soon as it breaks, and we're not going to pay any attention to the fact that it could be used for something else. Whoa, so that changes the whole complexion of the halacha, if that yisod is true. I mean, what Nissim Krelitz is saying is that the only machlokas about Shivrei Kelim between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, the only time we say Shivrei Kelim are not going to be muksa because they have some other usage, even if they have no usage to you, is if it's the kind of kli that when it breaks, you're not just going to sweep it up and throw it in the garbage. It's the kind of kli that when it breaks, you say, whoa, there are some nice pieces over here. Let's see what we can salvage from here. Let's see if we can think of anything to do with these pieces. But anytime you have a kli that just by your immediate reaction when it breaks is just chuck it, just get it out of the way, throw it in the garbage, that's going to be muksa. So it says in this and Kralit, so did I just erase an entire halacha from Shulchan Aruch, an entire halacha from the Gemara? Because now every time you have a broken kli, what do you do? Glass breaks. No one says, quick, get jugs of oil that we can potentially cover with these broken pieces of glass. What do they say? Don't step here. Go away. We have to sweep this up. And we're trying to make sure we can sweep up every last piece of it and throw it out. And that's all anyone ever does with broken pottery and with broken glass. So Nissim Kralitz tries to, excuse the pun, thread the needle a little bit and tries to make a chiluk. And he says like this, "Umistavra de'ein lilmod machat l'shivrei kelim b'zmanein." Don't tell me that broken kelim nowadays is just like a needle in the times of the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara. The shiny machat shenishbra shemitzad atzma ein ru'uya l'shimush argali. He's trying to make a very difficult chiluk, I think. He's trying to say that a broken needle is really not a functional kli. Yeah, if you dreamt long enough, you could think of something to do with it. But it's not really a functional kli. Whereas broken pieces of pottery are very functional, we are just so wealthy. We're just so used to having only the finest things in life. So we wouldn't use broken pieces of pottery. But fundamentally, in terms of the cheftza, leaving out the gavra and our attitude toward these things, but in terms of the cheftza, in terms of the item itself, it's fundamentally usable. So yesh lomer delo batel shem kli me hashvar mishum kach. Maybe that doesn't take away the shame kli from the broken pieces. V'gam bizmanenu im nimtza adam b'matzav shein lo kisui l'kelim harei yishtamish b'shevrei kelim. And nowadays, who knows? Maybe someone can't find the cover to his soda bottle, so he'll take a broken piece of pottery and cover his soda bottle with that. Im ken adayin lo batel shame kli minei. So it doesn't lose the shame kli. So that's what Nissim Krall suggests. That is very, very difficult. So if you're walking in the street and you're walking in camp, let's say, and it was raining, and you know those camp rains, and like your shoes are full of mud, and it's like stuck in between, and you see a broken piece of pottery on the side over there, so it's not going to be muktzeh. You could take the broken piece of pottery, clean out the mud from your shoe or something like that, because someone might use that as a cover to a barrel. So I don't know. Meaning, I think the kasha is a very strong kasha. Meaning, what's the difference between machat and shivrei kelim? I think his answer is a very strong answer. There's machat and shivrei kelim, but that last step, I have a hard time connecting it. Yeah.
Machat, they said you used to take out a splinter. Who cares if they have like the sewer's needs, like eye of the needle? It would still work. That seems like a perfect excuse to take out a splinter.
Right. But he's saying that knee-jerk reaction, as soon as the machat breaks, they chuck it. Meaning they had so many or whatever that as soon as the machat would break, they would just throw it out. Say nechnam, you could think of something to do with it, but that was not the immediate reaction as soon as pottery broke or as soon as glass broke. That's what he suggests.
According to this mahalik, are we going to say that it's all tala and what the metzias is in the current, state?
So he seems to try to back off of that by saying that even bismaneinu, even though the metzias is everyone throws out broken pieces of glass and pottery, it's still not going to be muktzeh.
So let's say you have something made of gold.
Right.
Right? And it's a kli made of gold that, I don't know, gold.
That for sure would not be muktzeh.
Because you have an obvious.
Yeah, you have that all the time. You have jewelry that breaks, a necklace that comes apart, something like that. So it started out as a kli. It's still, if you could think of some usage for it, then it will be. I mean, if you have no usage.
Anymore.
What?
You can't wear it.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. You have to have some usage for it, otherwise it doesn't enter the conversation. Right. If they could think of some usage for it that it could be used for.
So when a girl who, for example, is in youth groups on Shabbos and her necklace breaks, right, she has to leave it.
So good. So these are the halacha l'maisa ramifications. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about this specific case, actually. Okay. So that's from Nissim Krall. I don't know. Has anyone seen other poskim that have a different mahalich over here in terms of the chiluk to the machat? Yeah? Yeah, no, the chiddush I have, the problem I have is with the last part. That he says nowadays shivrei kelim are just like shivrei kelim in times of the Gemara. When the Gemara, exactly, the Gemara said they would throw the needle out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you could just say like that. I think that everything was nikva at the times of Chazal, so the fact that our Messiah has changed. So for the halacha, we go with.
It's just hard to say that in Hilchos Muktzah. Like everything in Hilchos Muktzah is. Very hard to say. Now there are two details that have to be added. Two sifkatans that have to be added into this picture before we get into halacha lemaisa. First of all, the Gemara in Shabbos Kufa Hey Rav Papa says Amar Rav Papa im zarku mibod yom la ashpa asura, and Rashi writes mibod yom gali daiti me'atmol delav manahu. That the rules of a broken kli, now here the Gemara deals with directly, what if it broke before Shabbos? So the Gemara says, well, if it broke before Shabbos, and you threw it out before Shabbos, then it's muktzeh. Meaning by discarding it before Shabbos, by chucking it in the garbage before Shabbos, then even if they can be used in the same manner as the original kli, even if it's a me'in malachtan, right? That's what the Bir Halacha writes in Dibur Maschul Ve'im, that even if you're able to use it, may aim the original malacha, right? The mizraka, right? The writes, Hainu afilu kshiyadayin ru'il lemalachto arishona, u'rayim ilkaman sifibayz, and he brings a raya. Still they're muktzah, because by you throwing them out, you're showing that you have no purpose for them, and then they're no longer considered a kli. So Shulchan Aruch in Siv Zayin quotes this halacha, right? Shulchan Aruch in Siv Zayin brings it down the halacha that if you threw it out before Shabbos, then it's going to be muktzah. And Mishnah Berurah in Siv Chatan Lamed Beis writes, Shenishbro b'chol, v'hu adin shenishbro b'Shabbos, k'mo shchasu sivav, el d'nakat b'chol mishum seifa. So the Mishnah says explicitly that it's not about when Shabbos started, was it intact or not? It's about, was it in the garbage yet when Shabbos started? If it was intact when Shabbos, even if it wasn't intact when Shabbos started, it's not going to be mutzah because it still has a sheichlus to the original kli, right? That's the point a couple of you brought up before, and that's Mefurish and Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah spells it out even more. What the Mishnah Berurah is trying to do is trying to reconcile what seems like a stira between Siv Vav and Siv Zayin, because in Siv Vav the Shulchan Aruch says that you can use a kli that broke on Shabbos, and Siv Zayin he seems to only allow it if it broke on Friday. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to be struggling with. And the Achronim struggle with this also. If you look in the Drisha and the Taz, all the Achronim have their say in terms of how to deal with this stira. But anyway, that's Sivkata number one. That's like detail number one to add in. And that is that even though we normally say as long as it has some usage, it's no longer going to be. It's not going to be muktzah, but if you threw it out before Shabbos, then it will be muktzah. Second thing to make note of is what the Rama writes in Siv Vav. That the Rama over here in Siv Vav writes, V'im nishburu b'makom sheyicholim lahazik kigon klei zechuchas shenishburu al ha'shulchan o b'makom sheholchin mutal taltal ha'sharim kadei lefnosan shelo yuzku b'hem. That certainly if it's going to do damage, if someone could hurt themselves, there's going to be a physical danger from the kelim, like a glass breaks on Shabbos and people might be injured by that glass, so then you can remove it on Shabbos. In Bir Halacha, in Siman Tav Kuf Yud Ches, Bir Halacha discusses whether you could pick up the broken piece of glass with your hand, or lechatchila you should try to do it with like a dustpan or something else that will, you know, a broom and a dustpan or a piece of cardboard or something else, in order to do tilchul me'atzad. Meaning what the Bir Halacha struggles with in Tafkuf Yud Ches is that yes, the Rama says that it's going to be dangerous, you're allowed to remove it, but it's going to be dangerous, you're allowed to remove it. Is that because there's simply no din muktzah? Or is it, no, there's still din muktzah, it's just that the danger overrides the muktzah. So, nafkamin, it's like a hutradukhiyah kind of thing. That's where Nisim Kralitz, Bir Halacha leaves it as sarachiyah. So Nisim Kralitz just elaborates. He says, V'nir dahadi tiru l'taltal muktzah b'makom sheyachol ha'azik hu geder shel dechiyah shel iser muktzah mishum siluk ha'azik aval lo heter gomu. That it's dechiyah, it's not hutra. That the kula of moving a dangerous muksa item is only dechuya, it's not hutra, and therefore you got to do your best to move it begufa or something else.
I think the footnote in the tour here references you to Shinyad Aleph, where he talks about the coast of Carmelis, and Lashon of the Beis Yosef quoting, I think, a Rishon is that.
Right, which is the other tzad, right. So this is what the Bir Halacha struggles with, whether it's hutra or not. Nisim Kralitz seems to paskin that it is the chuya and not hutra. So lemaisa, glass breaks all over the floor, so that's a dangerous place. Anyone who might be walking around without shoes on could hurt themselves, or anyone who trips and could cut open their hand. So you need to get rid of it. So the question is it can you at least pick up the big pieces directly with your hand to throw them out? So this is a suffix in the Bir Halacha, and the Bir Halacha leaves it a sarchi and he's not sure. So I guess could that be machmir, like when this one Kralit says to just sweep up the big, you're going to sweep up the small pieces anyway. So you might as well sweep up the big pieces, with tiltul min atzad as well.
What would define dangerous?
That is to cause physical harm. Doesn't have to be because of
nefesh. And is it talia? And if there's children running around, is it talia?
If it's practically, someone could get hurt. Yeah. Okay. If it's reasonable to assume someone.
Would the sweeping qualify as tiltul min atzad? Because it's not for the tzora, whatever, but there. The cardboard is a sheet of it, so.
Right, the cardboard would be different enough. So can you sweep it? Because it's a tzorech. It's not a tzorech anything, right? I mean, it's not a tzorech that's ever asked. It's to get rid of it. Yeah.
Is stop lifting it with a piece of cardboard tilted in a tzad?
Is that the definition of tilted in a
tzad? Tilted in a tzad is you have something on top, you're lifting it, but it's sliding off. You have a dollar bill on top of your book, so you lift up your book and it falls off. If your mom is vertically lifting it just to move around the mukta, that's not tilted in a tzad. It's like carrying in a plastic bag, carrying within a plastic bag is tilted in a tzad because you're not holding it.
No, I think that is tilted. Meaning, because I think of the shinui element that makes it tilted on its side. It's tilted on its side. You're not directly carrying it the way you would normally do.
You would normally sweep it up the room, though.
Broken pieces, you would normally sweep up the room. Except maybe not the big pieces.
If you're using the cardboard, I would certainly wouldn't get all the pieces.
Eventually you're going to use the broom for the tiny pieces. The question is the big pieces. Where it might normally it's easier to just pick up with your hand the bigger pieces. I don't know. The Nissim Kral then adds one more case, and he says you could even move muksa items to prevent harm that will be caused by non-muksa items. I mean, this heter of the Ramah, that to prevent nezek, you're allowed to move muksa. He says not only if the muksa is going to cause the nezek. Let's say you have nezek that could be caused by a non-muksa thing. You have a bar b'rishasarabim, and you need to cover it with something. So you could take something that's muksa to cover up the bar b'rishasarabim to prevent people from getting hurt. So you could take sticks or whatever to cover up the bar. And then he gives a very good example, meaning. Okay, we have one easy example, glass breaks, right? He says another example is what happens if you have, notice a medicine bottle, and there's no one in the house that needs that medicine. Let's say someone took their medication before they left for Shabbos, and it's a very strong medication. Or let's say recently one of my children had to have surgery, so they gave him a very strong painkiller, but thank God he didn't need to use. So he got a bottle of Oxy sitting on the counter. Right, and let's say you have little kids running around the house, so a bottle of Oxy and little kids running around the house, that's something that can cause significant harm. So there's some credit says even though it's muksa, no one's got any use for it, right? So it's muksa, but since it's sakana, not in the classical sense if it's going to cut you or whatever, but since a kid could take it and can be harmed by it, so that's going to be a problem. We'll elaborate a little more on medicine later on. Yeah.
Just to clarify, is this a heter in general by Samutza or just specifically by Shabbat Kiddin?
Well, we said that it doesn't work for Mutza Machmas Gufo.
Right.
Oh, meaning the Ramah. No, the Ramah, in terms of danger, I think, would even work for Mutza Machmas Gufo.
That's the paradigm case, Coase.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ramaz had to use everything. Yeah, so okay. If you stick with the model that we've been assuming that this din of, I mean that I've been questioning actually, that this din of Shivri Kelim is unchanged Bizman Hazeh, that the din of Cheres, of broken Cheres, is still a din, that it's not Muksa because it has some use, even though you have no use for it, as opposed to a needle where it's just a piece of garbage and everyone would throw it away. So we have to try to translate that chilek into some modern day examples. So in Eretz Yisrael, they had this great chab a while ago that they could save on packaging of milk by not putting milk in cartons and containers, but by just putting them in plastic bags, right? And that's why they sell those hard plastic.
Shoko basaki.
Okay. So that's chocolate, but even like regular milk is basaki. No.
That's not as good.
But you have to like you become an expert in like how to cut the perfect size hole in the corner. It's always, if an American does it, you could tell because it's always too big or too small. I mean, it's really like just intuitively, it's just like exactly the right size, like a mile. So the. I don't know why I said that. where was I? I think I was in Florida, where Oh yeah, when I was in Florida, Rabbi Avi Billet cut the challah in like 2 seconds flat. Like he was like, I was like, that's amazing. He's like, I'm a Maya. Okay. Definitely used that line before. So the question, everyone agrees if a bag was ripped in a way that it can't be used anymore, it's muksa because it's like a broken kli, it has no use. So Shlomo Zalman paskins that an empty milk bag is muksa. So meaning once you finish it, so it's muksa. So Shlomo Zalman says it has no purpose whatsoever. So it's like the broken needle. It has no inherent usage. You know, you can't use it for anything else. And the immediate reaction to anybody that finishes the milk is you chuck the milk bag. You don't say, oh, maybe I'll save it for a school project or something. It's going to smell. It's going to, you know, so of course it gets thrown away right away. Similar like sugar packets or sweet and low packets, things like that. So it's an immediate, it's the broken needle. It's immediately something that would be thrown away and therefore would be muksa machlas gufo. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, if you want to put a new milk bag in your milk container, you have to carry the container with the empty bag to the garbage and shake the bag out. And that's tiltul min hatzad, because you're not carrying the bag itself. I guess, you see, he holds that that's called tiltul min hatzad, because you're picking up, you're using the container, the hard plastic container, to indirectly move the bag. And that's considered the tzorach of Ramotu, because you want to use the jug again to fill, you know, with a full milk bag. So it's tiltul min hatzad, the tzorach davar motzeh. And he says, if you think the empty milk bag is not going to fall out when you flip it upside down, because sometimes there's condensation and there's moisture that makes it sticky. So if you try to go like that, it's not going to come out. He said, then just leave a little bit of milk in the bag. Don't finish it. And in that case, you could remove the bag with your hand, because as long as the bag has some look inside, it's still considered a kli, it's still a functional kli, and you're allowed to move it. It's baltashlis on the milk. Yeah, that's what you do. Meaning, baltashlis is only if you're being wasteful for no reason. Over here, you're not being wasteful for no reason. You're being wasteful because it's the only way to be able to have more milk. Rav Eliyashiv, just on this topic, and then we'll take questions. Rav Eliyashiv is quoted in the Sefer Shalma Yehuda, that even though a ripped sugar packet or a sweetener or something like that is muksa, an empty milk bag is not muksa, because you could fill it with other liquids or put some of the milk back into the bag. And therefore it's still considered a kli, it's not muksa. It must be, the Archa Shabbos writes, that Rav Yashav held that since fundamentally the milk bag could be reused, it's considered like a kli. And it's only because we're so wealthy that we don't have to reuse milk bags that we don't use it. Meaning that it's not fundamentally like the machat, which inherently you would throw out. Meaning, unlike the sugar packet, where it's got no use and no one ever would use it again, you could imagine that someone in a desperate situation might reuse a milk bag. Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that shards of a broken kli were commonly used to cover a barrel. A milk bag would never be used for anything else. So again, it's that chilik that Nissenkel has made before that we have trouble with, to categorize things, where you see this tension in the poskim. Is it that, I could imagine possibly someone finding a use for it? It would be very hard to reuse a milk bag. You'd have to rinse out the whole thing, because otherwise it will stink. So you have to fill it with water through that tiny little hole and then empty it and then reuse it again by putting something in that tiny little hole. You could imagine something like that being used. So, it reminds me a little bit of like the Tzvivas Kalim question of disposable Kalim, right? So you have the old glass Snapple bottles, which they no longer make. I don't think they make anymore. So the old glass Snapple bottle. So is it that it's a real bottle and therefore it requires Tevilas Kalim? It's just that we're so rich. Just because we're so rich, it doesn't take away the status of Tevilas Kalim. But do you say that? No. No one uses it a second time. Everyone throws it out right away. And therefore, it's not a kli. Therefore, you don't have to worry about in terms of Tevilas Kalim. You have a similar type of tension over here in terms of how do you view this? Do you view this as the machat, which is just immediately discarded? So I'm fairly comfortable with the sugar packets being the machat. That's something that's a broken kli that's going to be discarded.
So if the bag is not completely empty, would it be kli shemalach to wet there and be totally okay where we're at normally?
L'chora, yeah.
So in the sugar packets are a great example of the pit of the fruit where it's bali adam behet there when you rip it for your coffee. Now it's in your hand, so then you could put it in the garbage without
Right. But once you put it down, meaning if you're filling in multiple sugar packets, so then you have a problem, right?
Let's say you have like a soda bottle on
shop. By the way, I'm sorry. Just one of those sugar packets, I think a lot of people are nichshol in that, no?
With the letters.
forgetting the letters, the muktzah thing. Meaning people, you're sitting at a simcha or something, and they serve coffee at the end, or tea at the end, and people are cutting open sugar packets and putting them in, and then they'll pick them up and throw them in the garbage.
No, they don't use all the sugar in the packet.
Really? I do.
Who doesn't finish a sugar packet?
No, I mean, think it's like this big. There's some stuff in there.
No, unless it's wet inside, it'll all come out. No? It's four packets of sugar for my coffee.
No,
they don't. Yeah,
what about soda bottle?
So soda bottle, I think, is different, right? Because soda bottle is mamash a kli that's still usable. Like, you really can use
nobody
it.
Nobody will refill a Sprite with water.
You ever been to camp?
That's what I'm saying, that's in camp.
Or even like, so my daughter has a stomach ache, she'll fill it with warm water and use it as like a warm, whatever, a compress or something, you know. Yeah, people do things like that. Yeah.
What about using empty sugar packets as a bookmark? So, like that.
Do people do that? It's a terrible bookmark, it's too tiny. I don't know.
Going back to the French point about bowing over the header, does that apply to much not less people? Like the case of the Lord brings as Maos, like I'm not going to explain that, that's just talking about a case that's Hefsim Aruba, and that's just left for Maos. But Magen Avraham, when he quotes that, is only talking about Pishman Palais.
Don't the Poskim apply to a pit of a fruit? It's not clear. It's by the other behet, and even though all you left with is the pit.
Well, how can it be by the other behet?
Because you're eating the fruit.
Why? Yeah.
I'm very confused with the difference between like picking up grass with cardboard or leaving the milk bag in the pitcher, and why that's not considered like a bus system or a usher.
Because that would have to be on Erev Shabbos that it was ready, buses of Dover Asr. This was, we'll talk about whether something can become a buses on Shabbos, but it was a buses of Dover Mutzif because it held milk inside of it. So when we get to buses, we'll go into more details about how buses can change over Shabbos. We'll be there. Hopefully we'll get to all this stuff.
Between these milk packets and like
bag of chips,
is it the same thing once you finish the chips and now it's on the table?
We'll talk about that too. Okay. Now, what about plastic kelim? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Paskins quoted in Ma'ora Shabbos Chil Beis Chaf Dalet Zayin that plastic kelim that were thrown out on Shabbos are muktzah because they're like a broken needle that has no usage. So you finish a container of yogurt or you use a plastic cup or a bowl or a plate, they're all muktzah and they can't be moved. But if they're dirty and smelly, then they're graf shel rei, where you're allowed to remove it because it makes your whole house disgusting. The Orcha Shabbos paskins that the machlokas between Rav Yashiv clearly would say not that way, right? Rav Yashiv would paskin plastic utensils are not muktzah because they could be. Rav Yashiv said the milk bag is not muktzah, so of course Rav Yashiv is going to say those Costco hard plastic spoons. Can you imagine? Rav Yashiv would have used that for 15 years, probably. Right? Meaning those hard plastic spoons that you go through 12 of them in a day, right? Meaning that's Rav. Of course, Rav Yashiv would say that's not muktzah. So the Aruch HaShabbos says that machlokas depends on what people do. In earlier times, people would have a common use for broken shards of a kli, but not for a broken needle. Today, we need to determine whether our plastic utensils are more similar to the needle or they're more similar to the cheres. That's what it all boils down to. Meaning, that's why it was so important to just like see the Gemara and the basic halacha in Shulchan Aruch, because everything boils down to, is this more like the needle or is it more like the broken piece of cheres? So the Aruch HaShabbos paskins that a bag of milk and sugar packets, no one would ever use. Those are muktzah, those are not a kli, that's more like the needle. But plastic plates, cups, utensils that people would rinse and reuse if they really needed them aren't muktzah because they're still considered a kli. Rav Asher Weiss held this way also that sometimes I'll if I had a drink in a plastic cup and I looked around the kitchen and I saw there was no other plastic cup, I'll take an old plastic cup and rinse it out and reuse it. So and the fact that you throw it in the garbage on Shabbos, L'chor doesn't make a difference, meaning it's still as long as you didn't throw it out before Shabbos, so it still has a din like the cheres that you're able to use.
L'chor, all of these people that Rabbi just quoted in that camp are not like that ruinous and careless that we saw.
Yeah, which makes sense, because Right, meaning he's trying to say that we should ignore what we actually do, and because we're only doing these things because we're very rich. I think you can't ignore what we actually
do. So why
do.
Did Rebbe in the beginning of Shir feel like there was such a hefret to find another pshat? Like, or you could just say not like him, and then it's all Talmud and the Metzius.
So I didn't like the second half.
Meaning the kasha that he was dealing with, I thought, was a... Right, no, meaning that's what I said. Meaning he was dealing with the kasha of why the difference between the machad and everything else. So he said something that that people completely dis... Meaning I think his gedder is a good gedder. I just think the application is incorrect. Yeah.
If there's someone, even if you wouldn't reuse it, if there's someone else that would theoretically reuse the plastic.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that also. It's dependent on the person. But... I mean, even something that's commonly reused, I would think that would still have a din of a kli. In the Orchel Shabbos, comes up with an interesting case. He says, "Mafteach she'in roi l'shimush klal shehichlifu es haminol shol habayis harei umuksa kashar shevrei kelim she'in roi l'shimush." It's a fascinating case because sometimes you can have a kli that broke, not by it breaking, it broke just because it's, you know, what it would be used for is no longer a use. So you change the lock on your house. Let's say your keys get stolen or something, so you decide to change the lock. So your second set of keys that you still have now became useless because they don't work for anything. So someone in my neighborhood had just got a new car. What kind of car was it? It was like a fancy car. What was he on? What did they get? An Escalade, right? So right, that's a fancy car. So they got a new Escalade, and the dealer said, we can't find the second key, so just take one key home. Well, when we find the second key, we'll bring it to you. And then they woke up Shabbos morning, and the car was gone. Whoever had the second key knew exactly where the car was also, and they took the car also. Okay, so that's... it was interesting. Shabbos on Shabbos, like, can you go to the police and tell them about it? You know, certainly can't call them. I don't think, you know, it's Pikuach Escalade, isn't it? Pikuach Melech. So the Orchel Shabbos, so you have this case where the kli is no longer usable just because what you would use it for is no longer there. So he says, if you change the locks, the old key is muksa, because it's like a broken kli that has no usage. But he says in the footnote that if you give the old key to a child to play with, then it's not going to be considered muksa. And he says that, meaning, it's got to be like needle in order for it not to be a muksa. So if you chuck it, but if you have a young kid who likes to pretend he's a janitor or something, so he likes to walk around with his big keychain full of full of keys, so good, gesundheit. So let it be a toy for him. But he then writes, Misha nasa michutz le'ir v'imot zror mafteicho shel deiso ein mafteicho sel muksa av sheyef sher ke'es l'shamish be'machmas yisrael v'chutz l'tchum. You know, you're traveling. I go to Florida for a Shabbos or something, and I have my keychain on me. And this opens my office, and this opens. I don't remember, but something. This opens my my office in shul. This opens my shul, and this opens my car. But I'm in Florida. None of these things are here. So so says the Orchel Shabbos. They're still considered usable. It's still considered a kli. That's similar to what it said in Siv Zayin, that shards of a kli are not muksa that can be used as a barrel cover, even if you personally don't have a barrel in your location. So that's what the Orchel Shabbos compares it to. Meaning, you also could use it as a barrel cover. You just don't have any barrels that don't have covers. So over here also, you just don't have the anything in your location that it could be used for, but it's still functional.
Isn't this whole thing very machonish, because the whole, at least I'm not going to rumble, the whole machokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, the whole sugya shinri kelim is a nola sugya, or nola chaino gomor sugya, which is a physical change in the item. And the fact that a non-physical change
can become nola, yeah.
Isn't that not what we say?
That's interesting. Yeah, do other posts can talk about this? Did you come across anything? Yeah?
These decisions are just keys for, like,
hazard.
A car key would be
a car key is separate. Right. Yeah. Now, up until now, we were talking about broken kli, if it could be muksa if it can't be used for something else. There is an exception to this din, where according to the Mishnah Brura, even if you can't use it for some other purpose, they still might not be muksa. But let's see what that exception is. In order to appreciate the exception, you need to see what the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Ches, Tes, and Tes Zayin, and then we'll go back to practical application. I mean, there's another piece that's missing from this sugya over here. The Gemara B'sach HaShabbos on Kuf Chafez and Beis tells us, Amar Abaye, Hachi Kavar, Kolakim, Nital B'Shabbos, Udlasosehen Imahen, Afal Pishen Esparku, B'chol, Nitalim B'Shabbos. Tan Rabban, Dela Shal Shidav, Shal Teva, Shal Migdal, Not, Lin Avalo Makzivin, V'Shalul, Shal Tan Rabban, Non, Not, Lin Avalo Makzivin. May Avalo Makzivin, El Amar Avak Sabra, In Binyin Bekele, In Sir Bekele, Mekzer Shem Yitka. So the Gemara says, a door of a kli breaks off. The kli and the door are both allowed to be moved on Shabbos. You're allowed to move the door that broke off as well. So the door of a small jewelry closet or something like that, a jewelry box, comes off and becomes detached. Both the box and the door are not considered muktzah. Shulchan Aruch and Sif Ches, Paskins, Kol HaKeilim and Nitalim B'Shabbos, Dal Soseyan Shem Sparku Mehem Nitalim, Bein Nisparku B'Chol Bein Nisparku B'Shabbos. Exactly this. And the Mishabur and Sifkat Namen Hay explains, why is it not muktzah? The door can't be used for anything else. So he says, Pirish, Lo Mi Bein Nisparku B'Shabbos to Mutzah, B'Chol Ne'el Gabi Avien, even if it fell off on Friday, even though you have no other use for the door, but you do plan on putting the door back on the kli. So if the closet door comes off, you know, you have a big dresser and you open the door and the whole thing comes off. So you're still allowed to move it because it is something that you plan on putting back on the kli. So it never lost the status of a kli, even if it has no other purpose. But a door or a window of a house is going to be muktzah, even if it has another use, because when Shabbos started, it wasn't a kli, it was part of the house. And that would be more like muktzah machmas gufa, where these halachas don't apply. That would be like a rock, right? So if it's part of a kli, a door of a kli that came off, so even though it has no use, it still doesn't lose its shame kli, as long as you plan on putting it back. But a door of a house was not a kli to begin with. It was muksamak was kufo when it comes off, and therefore you don't have a heter. So the Gemara says you could even remove the door from a portable closet, but you're not allowed to return it because shami yitka, that you might come to put it in forcefully. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins Sif Tes, right? The delas shal shida tevel migdal yicholim litla mehem vasalak ziri, you can take it off, you just can't put it back. Zera shami yitka. To understand Siftas, you have to remember Shin Yodalit a little bit, right? Meaning a little bit about Binyan and Binyan Bekelim. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Shin Yodalit ain't Binyan and Stira Bekelim. That there's no Siddhar Raisa of Binyan and Stira Bekelim. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Yodalit Siv Zayin that if you're completely building or destroying a Kli, then there's an Isra of Bona and Soser, even with regard to Kelim. Meaning it's ain't being a stira by making modifications, but by completely making yesh me'ayin, building a kli, then yesh binyan bekelim. And in situations where there's no isra of building or destroying a kli, there's still an isra of forcefully reattaching the missing piece back into the kli, being tokea, what the Shulchan Aruch calls, putting it forcefully, is either because of makav patish or because of some form of bona, right? That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes over here in Sif Katan Lamed Zayin. V'yaseit of a mitzvah v'chazka v'chayi v'yishum makav patish, tabi lo gemar melafa, v'yesh gam bekelim yishum bona hechdu os alidei tekiya. Do ma'isu uman, that when you really forcefully put it in on a pivot or in something that's going to hold it in place, that's considered a ma'isu uman, and that's going to be aser. And therefore, based on this, the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Siman Shin Yud Gimel says that kol zeh lahatzel adlosos, avalit al adlosos mehakelim mutar b'chol inyan imeinu tikun ben b'chozek ve'im zeh mishum soser mishem b'nim b'sir b'kelim. That he says, when the Shulchan Aruch says in Siftas that you're allowed to remove doors of a portable closet, that's only if the doors aren't really tightly secured onto the closet. But if the doors are very tightly secured onto the closet, then it's so said. And in cases where you're allowed to remove the doors of the kli because they're not really tightly secured on, they're not takua, then you're not allowed to put them back, lest you come to be tokea them into the door. Shulchan Aruch and Siftas then tells us that removing or returning the cover to a lul shel tarnagolim, a chicken coop, is aser because the coop is connected to the ground. And the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Lamed Tes, explains umechayiv mishum bona, that that's a violation of bona. So it's considered sosar to remove it and bona to put it back. So bekitzer, if a door breaks off of a kli, the door is not muktza as long as you plan on returning it back onto the kli. That's considered, it never loses the status of a kli. Even the broken door is a kli. If the kli, the kli itself obviously is also not muktza because it also never lost the status of a kli. And not only that, you're even allowed to take the door off of the kli if they're not securely tightened on to the kli, but putting them back is going to be asur shema yitka, lest you come to put them back onto the kli. So that, this is the starting point. I mean, we still have to get through, I just don't want to go over time over here, but we still have to get through Sif Tezayin. So I guess that's it. Maybe take a careful look at Ches, Tes, and Tezayin, and then, you know, that will set us up to be able to intelligently discuss what the halacha is with buttons that fall off of a suit, what the halacha is with a door handle that comes off on Shabbos, your glasses break on Shabbos, a stroller that a wheel falls off of on Shabbos. All of these things are relevant dafka to these se'ifim. So that is Hashem, very nogeh l'maisa, and we will continue with that tomorrow. Tomorrow, 110 Parsha Shir, 120 regular Shir, and everyone, don't forget, Rabbi Dr. Daniel Israel is giving Shir at 115 in the base Medrash. Everyone is encouraged to attend. And go get life insurance for free.
During Pesach, my pants ripped horribly.